We want to get some local perspective on the national and the California races from yesterday. And for that, we go to Professor Dave McEwen from Sonoma State University. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning. Your overall take on the election yesterday?
Well, Democrats had a small wave. It's a solid wave. It's not a big wave. Part of that is President Trump talking about immigration and the caravan, using the leverage of the Kavanaugh hearings, especially in the Senate. Democrats, though, did pick up sub-nationally. They picked up 333 legislative seats, won at least seven governorships. That's not a bad showing. They also did very well in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. That's important for 2020. The president seems to have forgotten that during his press conference. This seems more like a stream of consciousness victory lap than anything else. It helps him in the Senate. It could help him with judicial nominees, particularly the Supreme Court. But there's going to be a rough road ahead because Democrats are going to be gunning for him as we head to 2020.
Well, it wasn't exactly an olive branch that the president extended to Nancy Pelosi, but it was probably as close to a love letter as he's ever given her this morning. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would say certainly. I mean, bipartisanship is around for 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
The government runs out of money on December 7th. The key issue is going to be at that time the border wall, immigration, security. The Republicans are going to be in a difficult position then. You have a lame duck Speaker Ryan at that point. And then for Democrats, they're going to be in a fighting mood. They're not going to be helpful. And so the government could easily shut down on December 7th. It could be shut down for a month. The president didn't commit to that during his press conference or during the questions, and he's not going to take that off the table. We could see a very divided government beginning very shortly.
And that's the thing, Dave. Here we go. I mean, for those of us who are regular citizens of the United States, we think, okay, now the Democrats have retaken the House and the Republicans retained the Senate, and maybe there will actually be some work done with both sides represented. But will it just be that, you know, back and forth gridlock that we're used to when this happens?
On many issues, yes, but there is a common issue, and that's infrastructure funding. If there's an infrastructure bill, a bill that could help continue the economic progress that we have made since the Great Recession and could put people back to work fully employed. California is certainly experiencing this, but if you experience this nationwide, that lifts all boats in some sense. So an infrastructure funding bill would be something to consider or think about. That's a common ground that we could see. Look, that's bipartisan. It's helpful for many. It also keeps economic engines going longer. The question is, the backdrop of all of that is the presidential election, 726 days from now.
Yeah. And speaking of infrastructure, we can't go beyond that subject without talking about the defeat of Prop 6, the repeal of the gas tax, because that's so important to so many infrastructure projects here in the Bay Area and in Sonoma County.
Right. It also illustrates kind of what happens with ballot measures. Ballot measures have become so important to California and critical. And as we have shifted to funding transportation projects, if you will, outside of the regular budget, one thing to pay attention to is the degree to which Governor-elect Gavin Newsom has a budget that channels all the promises that he made to groups, which were quite large and wide-ranging, or does he channel Jerry Brown? And that first budget is going to come out in early January. There isn't a lot of time for him to make decisions about that. He made expansive promises on housing, on homelessness, on transportation, on infrastructure, on universities, on healthcare. Can he deliver all of that? That'll be very difficult, but his first budget will be a telltale sign of which direction he intends to go.
And speaking of the new governor, he came out with some fighting words last night, didn't he?
He certainly did.
Yeah.
He's going to lead the anti-Trump, counter-Trump charge. Certainly Kamala Harris will be part of that. But all California politicians really will be tripping over themselves to be more anti-Trump than the next. That puts California front and center. We're relevant, even though we haven't decided those House races in the South yet.
Yeah, that's true. Those are still up for grabs as of this morning. And what about the shift between last night's election and the march toward 2020? Will there be a breath taken, or that's it? We're already in it.
No, I think we're already in it. I mean, let me give you an example. Beto lost in Texas, but he can go to Iowa. He can go to New Hampshire and try to raise money. He can do that because the Democratic field is wide open. Eric Garcetti from Los Angeles can go there. Eric Swalwell has already been there, has a campaign office. He can continue to go back and forth. While we pay a lot of attention to Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, even Jerry Brown can titillate about this race. There's a lot of politicians that are California-centered that can pop in and pop out. from diners to dives, whatever they want to do in Iowa, in New Hampshire, to be relevant and part of the conversation, because the Democratic nomination is wide open.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Democratic message. It's something we've been talking about for the last couple of years. Where is it? What is it? And who's the best person to deliver it? Are the Democrats ready to stream between now and 2020?
Well, they don't have a solid candidate. They don't have a solid message. They have an anti-Trump, counter-Trump message. They have to develop a message that's aspirational, that lays out a vision. Now, Gavin Newsom tried to do that. He'll certainly be in that early conversation. Kamala Harris will be in that early conversation. But because you lack one message and one messenger, who that looks like, that person is not currently out there. It's not Cory Booker. It's not John Hickenlooper from Colorado. There's just a wide open field. The Democrats are still searching after post-2016, and in some ways still reeling from what President Trump does and what his base does. They haven't found that yet. They will, but certainly it's wide open for them right now.
It seems like they should have found it already. It seems like there is momentum lost because of that vagueness.
I think they can take a short victory lap from last night. It wasn't a big wave, but they really have to look inside in terms of what's happening. There are demographic divides, cultural divides, racial divides going on. The gap is large in this country, and the geographic divide is the same. If you look at that gender gap, where so many women support Democrats, so many men support Republicans, that's really a harbinger of where we're at. That's difficult for both parties headed to 2020.
Did enough happen last night, Dave, for us to sit back and say, well, at least we are more diverse and at least there are more women in office?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, you have over 100 women in Congress now. That is a very big deal. You also have, you know, the first Latina congresswoman from Texas. You have the first African-American congresswoman from Massachusetts. You have a really wide swath of folks that are in. And as a result of that, that's a big deal.
Very good. Well, a great wrap up. And I know you've been a busy guy over the course of the last 24 hours, too, Dave. So appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's going to be a fun 18 months, that's for sure.
Amen to that.
That is Professor Dave McEwen from Sonoma State University, political science professor there, and always an insightful guy to go to before, during, and after elections. That about covers it, doesn't it?